Hi there, you're listening to the Food Talk Show. This is the Food Talk Radio Show, and each week we taste some amazing new food or drink products. But on this occasion, we're going to be talking to Harry about insects, more of which later. Lovely. And also, we take a look at the latest in food tech from around the UK. So hello everyone, my name is Sue Nelson and I'm joined by the wonderful, handsome, actually he's got a bit of a cold, he's feeling a bit sorry for himself, Guy Routledge from Food Rush. How are you doing, Guy? You feeling a little bit better? Stop moaning?
3 weeks in and I've still got this cold.
Yes.
It's terrible.
So today Guy and I are going to be talking about food tech, and we've got some food tech awards coming up which we're very, very excited about, so talk a little bit about that. We've also got Harry here. Now Harry actually is one of our producers and researchers for the show, but we've brought him on today because he has decided he's going to do an insect diet for a week.
Well, I had it decided for me, but
I didn't actually want to say that, but we'll talk about that later. So we're going to be tracking how you do on your insect diet. And I'm joined by Gabby McSweeney of London Tech Week. And
Hello.
We're excited about London Tech Week as well, aren't we? Loads of stuff going on, so we can talk about that.
It's like a great lineup.
It is. There's always a great lineup for London Tech Week, but even better now, I think. So just to kick off with, you and I, Guy, have been involved a little bit with food tech and trying to work out what food tech is. And the whole lot of us sort of getting together recently who are in that sort of space. And we were trying to actually map it out, weren't we, to try and work out what food tech is.
Yeah, so we were exchanging a few emails backwards and forwards. Mm. You know, it's a fairly new sector in the history of sectors, if that's even a thing. And there's lots and lots of buzz happening in this space at the moment. Certainly over the last couple of years, there's been, you know, billions and billions invested into the sector in terms of startups and scale-ups, you know, getting money pumped into food tech and food innovation. But there's a lot of uncertainty about what the term actually means.
Absolutely.
And in fact, there's even a lot of uncertainty about how we spell it. Like some places, they'll put it all together in one word, like food tech with no space. Some places, food hyphen tech. Some places, food space tech. So, I mean, I don't even know which is the right one these days, or the more appropriate version.
But we decided, though, didn't we, that we should do something about it?
Yeah, I think it's a hugely important topic. And so,
and what we want to do is we want to make a definition of food tech that's relevant to the UK. And we're going to get a bunch of people together. So if there's anybody out there listening who feels quite strongly about food tech and wants to... Oh, you've got a map in front of you there, Gabby. Where did you get that from? A map of food tech. Yeah. That's all the different sorts of brands, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just kind of like an ecosystem of all the different areas of food tech, really. So it kind of covers everything from product guides and ready-to-cook meals and ordering, delivering and registrations. And it, I mean, because I agree, it's just so hard to get your head around. And sometimes, you know, you even bypass the tech element of a food company because it's just so integral to what it does.
So we thought we'd have a go at mapping it out. And what we wanted to do was make a definition of it, didn't we, before the media decide on their own, which they often wanted to do.
Sounds like a good plan, yeah.
So the sorts of things that you and I have been talking about, I think... There's obviously the food production side, which is obvious. So you've got people who are making food. Mm-hmm. But I think the stuff that we're really interested in is people who are making food in an innovative way or are trying to do free from. There's a lot of that going on, isn't there?
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, it's in many ways, it's kind of reacting to the modern needs of the modern consumer, and you know the food allergies are, you know, definitely on the rise, or perhaps we just have more data that shows us that they're on the rise, and so a lot of work happening in that part of the sector as well.
I mean, certainly what I'm seeing in terms of innovation is, you know, you'd think it is easy you know, if you're going to make some bread, but we're going to make it gluten-free. Well, actually, it isn't. It's incredibly difficult.
To make it good and have that taste and that kind of texture that you're used to is very difficult. I was gluten-free for a while, and it was just a pretty miserable experience from the bread side of things, for sure. Mm.
And I think it's, again, if you just take something out, what are you going to replace it with? And also, how are other ingredients going to react with it? Mm. And it's not a simple process, taking sugar, gluten, any of the other allergens out. So we're seeing some really good innovation around that. So for me, that's definitely part of food tech, even though it's just food production.
Yeah, it's a funny one because, you know, some people will say that food tech is more about the technology and less about the food. But I think the food still has to play a major part in it. Otherwise, we're just talking about tech.
Yeah,
right?
What's the point? Yeah. And I think it's a given now as well, where you said being gluten-free was a pretty miserable experience. Well, now people will expect to eat those things and to taste exactly the same. And if it doesn't, you're not going to be successful as a product.
Well, I think it's certainly a lot easier now as well because it's a much more common thing. It's much more well-known. You often see the things on the menus in the restaurants and the cafes and stuff, which clearly mark stuff that you can have. It's not as prolific as it should be, unfortunately. But I think it's a lot easier to eat that way these days, which is good.
So that's one sort of section for me. The other section is the sort of the food analytics section. Mm. And again, we had last week on the programme, we had Adrian from Cheerfy.
Cheerfy, like Spotify.
I always want to say Cheerfy. I don't know why. Cheerfy. And there's a lot of analytics going on in terms of food tech. And that's some of that's around health, isn't it? Sort of health and well-being, tracking what you're eating.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is kind of wearable technology in the space of in that kind of health and well-being thing is very popular as well. But just gathering masses and masses of data, giving rise to this kind of concept of big data, which from that you can gather, you know, important insights because you have, a big enough sample size to get some real information out of. Yeah, I think
so. There's a lot
important
in the business-to-business sector for that, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Restaurants and other food sort of companies trying to analyse how people are using things, doing ethnographic research as well. You know, what are people doing on certain journeys? So for me, food analytics is another area.
Yeah, definitely.
Another one for me as well is this sort of preparation and delivery of food.
The delivery wars that we have.
Yeah, absolutely, at the moment, wow. But there's a whole load of technology going on around that in terms of how do you order, how do you make it very personal, but there's quite a lot of technology going on for the delivery mechanisms as well, packaging, for example, trying to make sure the food that you get is as good as when it was cooked and left whichever premises it was.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing worse than having something delivered to your door, which is very convenient, but if it comes all smashed about and, you know, doesn't look like it would have looked on the plate, it's not as appetizing. No. So you get that convenience, but it's, you know, it's a bit of a letdown.
Mm. Any other areas you're thinking of food tech that you particularly interested in?
Well, I mean, so one of the things that we kind of were debating last week, I think it was, you know, whether things like artificial intelligence and virtual reality and augmented reality and all that kind of stuff has a place in here as well. I think specifically because one of the areas in which we're discussing this is within the Tech London Advocates kind of family of you know, groups of people, and they kind of have their own individual ones for things like IoT and AR and VR and all that kind of stuff. But I think that definitely can play a part in the food side of things as well.
Yeah, gadgets for me as well, the sort of trying to make kitchens smarter.
Oh, some of the smart kitchen stuff is quite unbelievable.
Yeah, and do you remember Sol that we had on the programme a few weeks ago? And she's done this amazing food label that tells you...
The bump mark.
That's it, yeah. There's going to be a lot more of that, I think.
I hope so,
a lot more gadgets. Although, in a way, we're seeing people cooking less at home. But people still look like they're spiralizers and you know, they're smart scales that will tell you know, how much you need for a certain recipe and all that sort of thing.
And then how to substitute when you don't have enough. I think that's one of the ones that we found recently. I can't remember the name of it. There's a few of them out there. But there's some smart stuff out there. There's also a load of stuff out there which kind of says that it's smart, but doesn't really seem so useful to me. But maybe we'll save that for another day.
Mm. And then, of course, finally, for me, there's the big section around apps and software development. Mm. Loads and loads of, but I mean, there's apps for everything, isn't there now?
Yeah, there is.
Have you got any? You're a techie person. I've been reading about bots.
Bots, things like chatbots. You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've.
Can you explain, in case anybody's listening, doesn't know? It's not to do with bottom, it's a chat bot.
It's not, unfortunately. Or perhaps fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
I think fortunately, guy.
I believe the concept is where, so a bit like when you instant messaging with a friend, Back in the day, it was like ICQ, and then it was MSN, and now it's maybe things like even like Twitter and Facebook, kind of instant messaging platforms. But the idea of a, like a chat bot is that you as a customer are chatting to someone that it sounds and seems like you're talking to a real person, but you're actually talking to an artificially intelligent machine that can understand the kinds of things that you're asking.
You just described Harry there, an artificially
intelligent
machine.
Well, I was looking
machine.
At Harry when I said that. So we've heard about some companies implementing these things for doing things like online ordering your pizza online. I think Domino's actually trialed one of these things. It's a kind of a third-party company that produced the technology, and they license it to various outlets for being used. So you can order your pizza via Twitter chat. Another one that we covered a few, probably a year or so ago now, was DeliPair, the automatic wine pairing app, where you can just tweet a recipe to this thing and it will give you back your wine recommendations in the next tweet. So yeah, this kind of...
But the point of a chatbot is the way it talks to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels very
so
kind
like
of
I've
human.
Got Alexa at home, who's you know my best friend. I love Alexa. I swear at Alexa a lot just to see what sort of response you get. But it's the programming of that so that it sounds colloquial, so that it sounds
that
like
natural
it's
language
not,
parsing
yeah.
is very very challenging.
And that's what that's the next stage of AI, isn't it? Really, that people are really trying to work on. Quite difficult.
Yeah, very tricky because people speak and behave and react in all sorts of different ways, and kind of capturing that and making it smart enough that people continue to use it is really really challenging.
And it doesn't sound false.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I have an Alexa at home as well, and I quite like it, but then sometimes you just kind of start speaking when I wasn't talking to her, and it find it very annoying.
It's a bit like any woman, actually, probably.
No comment.
No. We'll move on to the very, very, very exciting Food Talk Awards, and we're having the Food Talk Awards on the first day of London Tech Week, because we like to get in there first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well-timed.
Yeah. London Tech Week is June the 12th to June the 16th, just off the top of my head. Gabby's nodding there. And we're going to find all about London Tech Week. We're going to find all about it in a minute. But let's talk about the Food Talk Awards. Now, we've been running this programme for a year, and it's rather taken off more than we thought. Also, we're having a really good time, so we just thought we'd carry on doing
it's
it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, great fun. Get to eat a lot as well. That's free. And we decided we're seeing so many innovations, just fabulous, fabulous stuff, all sorts of things across the food tech spectrum, really, that we thought people should be honoured, shouldn't they? They should be recognised and honoured.
Absolutely, especially for those who are kind of innovating in their space. Mm. You know, and I'm sure that you've had this experience in the past with businesses that you have run or what have you. Is you know, when you're first starting out, getting that recognition and feeling like somebody is actually paying attention is you know, it feels like you're just doing it in a vacuum almost.
Who said that? Yes, and I agree.
No, I have exactly the same experience. And it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes recognition is, it's not the be all and end all, but sometimes
just
it's nice.
Helps.
Just to, yeah,
yeah,
it absolutely
helps.
Kind of pushes you along and makes you feel like you're doing something worthwhile.
And I think there's loads and loads of taste awards out there, so we didn't want to do that. So we've come up with some award categories, actually based really on the guests that we've been having on the show. So if you're out there and you're an unsung hero, it's free, obviously, to enter. We like free things.
We do.
And it's not onerous, so you don't have to write five. I mean, I've entered some of these awards and you have to spend days doing them. Absolutely horrendous. So we're not doing any of that, just a little stuff about yourself. We've got a It's All in the Taste Award for drink and It's All in the Taste Award for food. The drink product and the food product has to use unusual ingredients or unusual combinations or something that's been quite difficult to achieve. You know, something really different. And those are two categories on their own. And the judges will be a blind tasting test, obviously, and they'll be looking at visual appeal and texture and smell.
How are they going to look at the visual appeal if they're blindfolded?
No, not blindfolded. I mean, they won't have the packets in front of them.
Oh, I see. That makes much more sense.
No, they won't be blindfolded entirely. So that's
we could have a lot of fun if they were.
Yeah. We've got the Gourmet Gorilla Award, not as in gorilla, but guerrilla. You know, guerrilla reward. And for clean eating. Clean eating's got a bit of bad press recently, though, hasn't it? But we don't care about that.
We're not so much about the bad press here. We like to, you know, we're supportive.
I mean, my take on that is somebody who's taken a traditional factory-produced food or drink product, you know, like chicken Kiev or, I don't know, peanut butter or something, and has completely stripped it of everything, taken it right back to bases, takes out all the preservatives, the additives, anything like that, and really reconstructed it into something much healthier. So that's my take on clean food. And we think that deserves to be celebrated.
Mm, absolutely.
We've also got the Free From, haven't we?
Which we've just been talking about, yeah,
Free
exactly.
From, yeah, and then my favourite is the Fabulous Fanny Award.
I thought you might say that.
Mm, that's my favourite. And that's all about food writing. Because we think there are some great food bloggers, food writers, food journalists out there. Not sure they're being celebrated as much as they should. And if you're wondering about the name, it's because this award for fantastic food writing is our way of paying tribute to a grand dame of gastronomy who's Fanny Craddock. Now, I'm old enough to know Fanny Craddock. Do you know who that is?
I do, Guy? Yes. No, I'm old enough to have heard of her.
Yes.
I think I saw some kind of etching on a side of a stone wall somewhere. It was
about Fabulous Fanny. Well, she was one of the first TV cooks. But more importantly, you know, she was a bit of an old bag. I mean, everybody realises that. But she was quite groundbreaking in her way and trailblazing. And she changed the way British people looked at food in a very particular, inimitable style. And that's what we're trying to celebrate. Obviously, my favourite incident involving Fanny Craddock, when I was a kid, she used to be on sort of like the, you know, sort of what the One Show is now, you know, and she used to be the cookery chef person. And then at the end, the presenter, they were making donuts and stuff. And at the end, the presenter said, "Well, I hope you enjoyed the programme. And let's hope that all your donuts turn out like Fanny's." And that was one of my favourite television moments of all time.
Fantastic.
So we decided we would honour Fanny Craddock.
I think it's a great honour.
It is. And then we've got the What's in Store Award, which is all the smart kitchen stuff. So anybody making amazing smart gadgets, apps, technology for cooking, preparing or analysing food, you know, that's the one you should be entering. And we're seeing loads of amazing technology, aren't we, coming in from that. And then finally, we've got Outside the Box Award, which is about packaging, not pretty packaging, but, you know,
but innovative and interesting packaging.
Yeah, technically advanced packaging. And then my favourite, which nobody can enter this because it's just down to us, what we've seen on the programme for the last year, is called the Bonkers But Brilliant Award. And that's the weirdest food, drink, gadget, technology, whatever, that we've had on the Food Talk show in the last year. And the winner will be the product that we think is just mad, but incredibly clever at the same time. So one that came to mind, we had a guy on the show called Badger. Wouldn't let us call him by his real name. Can't remember what his real name was now, can you, Harry?
Ian, maybe.
Ian, yeah. So he said, "Oh, hi, Ian." Yeah. He went, "No, my name is Badger."
My name is Badger.
Yeah, and he's vegan, and he made egg mayonnaise with no egg or mayonnaise in it.
Yes, I remember this one.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Bonkers, but brilliant.
Bonkers, but brilliant.
Yep. Tasted like egg mayonnaise, looked like egg mayonnaise, smelt like egg mayonnaise, but it wasn't egg mayonnaise. I can't remember what it was made out of now, but it was brilliant. So it's that sort of brilliant but bonkers. We're going to have a look back through the archives and award our own.
That sounds great.
So if you're out there and you know anybody, or it is indeed you, and you want to enter into these awards, get cracking. Go on to foodtalkawards.com. website, and you'll see everything there. Entries open, well, they're open already, Tuesday the 7th of March, entries are open, and you've got till Friday the 7th of April to get those entries in. Finalists will be announced towards the end of April, and we've got an amazing awards ceremony on the first day of London Tech Week on Monday 12th of June, and it's at OXO.
It's going to be a great one.
OXO Tower, it's got to be, isn't it, because that's a foodie thing, and looking out over the Thames. We've had some chefs develop, the chefs at OXO Tower have been really helpful, developed a wonderful, wonderful sort of evening meal for us. And then we're going to get some of the people who've entered to display all their food and drink so that people who come to the awards can have a little taste of what's been submitted, can play with some of the gadgets, and then we can all sit down to dinner.
Fantastic. We've got some speakers as well lined up.
We have. My favourite.
For the intellectual portion of the evening, as well as just eating and drinking portion of the evening.
I guess so. My absolute favourite is Carolyn Steele, who's a food urbanist. I'd like to be called something edgy like that, but I'm not.
Just called Sue.
And she's the author of Hungry City. And if anybody's out there and goes on to, likes TED Talks, she did this amazing TED Talk about 9 years ago now, I think, called How Food Shapes Our Cities. And it's had nearly a million views. It's brilliant.
Fantastic.
And she explains how the history of, you know, people moving around and delivering food and bringing food into a city, how it actually shapes a city. She did a great one about London. So she's going to do a little mini TED talk, you know, during the course of the evening. We thought that'd be good. We don't want some old celebrity, do we? Get them a ten a penny. We want somebody really clever like Carolyn Steele. And also we've got Russ Shaw, who's, well, head of Tech London Advocates. I mean, he's an overachiever completely, isn't he, Russ Shaw? He's just amazing, isn't he?
He's a character.
He is. He's really good. So, yeah, and we've got all sorts of other judges, and you can see that on the website. So, cannot wait. That's another round of tasting lots of food that people send in.
Oh, I don't know how we find the time.
I know. Just keep going to the gym. Keep going to the gym. So,
start.
Let's have a little chat with Gabby. So, just tell us why London Tech Week started. Why did we feel the need for it?
Well, really, the legacy of London Tech Week is really about encouraging people to the capital, that, you know, piece around talent, getting talent into tech, and encouraging growth in kind of all different tech verticals. So this is the...
What does tech vertical mean?
Well, I mean, that's probably... That could be a whole nother radio session.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, all the ones that you hear about, kind of food tech being a key vertical for us, but creative tech... Anything. I mean, it's becoming more and more that tech is infiltrating into all areas of our lives.
And so a vertical is like a sector. So like a health sector or a food sector.
FinTech, health tech. Yeah. All those different areas where tech is becoming such a key part of the industry that it's getting its own buzzword.
Yeah. As in food tech.
Yes.
Yeah, Guy and me are experts on that, clearly.
Well, slowly.
So it's bringing all these things to London.
And so also, firstly, before we go much further, well done for kicking off the week with
We want to get in there first,
the
obviously.
Food tech
start as you mean to go
award.
On, I think, is the expression, isn't it?
But the key thing about London Tech Week is, so it's 300 events take place.
300?
300 plus.
Wow.
But those, you know, obviously it's not me sitting there in my office running those 300 events. Anyone can run their own event in London Tech Week. And whatever it's about, I mean, the word verticals, you create the verticals, whatever you want to do your own event about, which has, touches on tech, can be run in London Tech Week. We support you on the marketing. You just sign up as an event host. And so it's kind of by the people for the people.
Mm. That's good. So you'll have some, what you probably describe as signature events that you've really helped organise, like big stuff. We'll talk about some of those in a minute. But you're encouraging anybody who wants to join and be part of it to what do they do? Go onto the Tech Week website or?
Yeah, so you just
give
go
you a
to.
A little ring or what?
You just go to londontechweek.com and there's various different packages depending on how much marketing support you want for your event, starting from, you know, £300. And you can literally just sign up there and then in 5 minutes.
5 minutes. And that would then allow you to be part of this huge, big thing. And there's going to be loads of media, isn't there? And loads of publicity. So if you're a little small outfit that wants to do your own event, it's just a really good idea to do it inside that week, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, it couldn't be easier to sign up. And the fact that we're running it in partnership with the mayor's office and that it's supported by the mayor just kind of gets you on board with that whole buzz of London Tech Week. And the other good thing about it this year is it's taking part in London Food Month. So,
That was handy then, wasn't it? That's
exactly. That's, so for all those food techies, then they can kind of kill two birds with one stone by signing up through both parties and just get double the publicity for, you know, little effort.
That's good. And why did it start? How did it start off?
Well, from my point of view, so I work for Informa Connect 365, and we've actually taken it on this year. So we're now starting to build it up, and we've got a 3-year plan of how it's going to develop. So
is that because it's just taken off so much, you've really got to go for it now?
Yeah, and also the fact that, because we're a very large events company, and we were able to give it those you know, huge anchor events that are going to take it to the next level and really make it an event on the calendar that will be significant for consumers, for businesses, for restaurants.
Anybody that's interested.
To bring everyone to London. Just
absolutely.
Because I was going to ask, actually, if it is just for the people who are already working in tech, or whether it's like a business-to-business conference, or if it is kind of almost like a like a completely open thing where anybody who has an interest in creating or using technology can get involved?
Well, exactly. I'd say it's definitely the latter. I mean, those anchor events that you touched on earlier, we kind of do cover that B2B side of the huge expos. We've got one called TechCelerate, which is the anchor event of London Tech Week in the Excel Arena. And that covers those things you were talking about earlier, like VR and AR, the Internet of Things, apps world. And that's, 20,000 people in B2B conference in the Excel Arena. But then...
And that's just one event.
Yeah.
Mm. It's quite big, this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm just getting the hang of that. Yeah,
but
it's
then,
huge.
You know, anyone else can make it what they want to make it. So if you're a consumer-facing company, if you're selling software, for example, if you're, I don't know what, as long as it is relevant to tech, then we can provide you that platform to have your event.
And relevant to London, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you've got a sort of Prince's Trust VIP and Ambassador's Gala dinner. It's in competition with ours, you know that, don't you?
Well, then.
I know which one I'd rather be at. No, mind you. So you've got loads of events like that. So just tell us a little about the gala dinner.
Yeah, so what we're doing this year is, so we've got more anchor events and we've also got a whole social program around the week. So the Prince's Trust Gala Ambassadors Dinner is one of those. And, one of the great assets of London Tech Week is that we've got all these key people in the industry who are our ambassadors, like the chairman of Just Eat, for example. We've got the general manager of Uber and we've got about 15 of those. So those people are going to come to the ambassador dinner.
They're not going to be at our dinner then, are they? I was going to invite them as well. Oh, well, obviously busy.
Well, also, Russ Shaw is one of our advocates, so he's obviously... chosen you over our ambassador's dinner.
No, I think he's going to the ambassador's dinner then nipping over to ours afterwards. I think he's going to have two dinners that night.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard life as an ambassador for London Tech Week. I think.
I can imagine.
But yeah, so that's, similar thing. It's an elegant location. It's 8 Northumberland Place and we put on a lovely dinner, get some entertainment and a few speakers. And so we've got that. There's several other kind of awards evenings happening throughout the event. There's a wrap party for all the event hosts. So I hope to see you there.
That sounds good. I mean, I've got another example here. Tech Australia. So for example, I mean, Australia, I don't know if you've got any views on this guy, but Australia is becoming known for tech actually quite a bit. This sort of Slack is there and TransferWise and all sorts of other things. They're saying the digital market forecast there is $235 billion by 2020. And that's just in Australia.
Wow.
So they're having a little old bash at Australia House. Where you
very nice
with the corks hanging down and all that sort of thing.
I think we call it gate crashing, don't we?
Yeah, but I think that's a very good example though of what people are doing and saying, I want to celebrate tech kind of in my particular way, and let's do these events. And they don't have to be that big and flashy, do they, Gabby? It's you could do anything really small or big, but if you want to draw attention to yourself and you're in tech, or even if you're trying to get funding, actually, it's probably quite a good idea to have a little event.
Exactly. I mean, there's several kind of streams around London Tech Week, and startups and scale-ups is one of them. So there's so much at the moment around...
There's connected cars. There's an event on that, isn't there? It's amazing.
Yeah. We've got there's some drone racing as well.
Oh, yeah, that
really?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Harry will be up for that.
Yep.
Yeah, and a festival concert with Hans Zimmer.
Yeah,
as well.
Wow.
Amazing composer. I think all of my favourite films when I was growing up were composed by Hans Zimmer.
Really?
Excellent, excellent stuff.
It's quite funny because he does seem to be quite a hit with the tech industry. There's a
really? Yeah. It's a surprise when I saw it down there because I was looking through the brochure earlier today. And just a real kind of range of different events. And the events is one thing, but I'm sure that they're kind of all geared around showcasing not just the kind of tech that we know and use every single day, but some really interesting emerging tech. Is there anything particularly that kind of springs to mind when of the things that you've got lined up that are, really, really interesting and different and completely out of left field?
As I mentioned, that huge, huge expo has a whole section dedicated to VR and AR, to AI and machine learning, which you were talking about earlier. That next stage of the machine, not just a chatbot, but it's learning from what you're telling it.
I mean, that's the new thing, isn't it? It's not AI, it's going to be machine learning.
Yeah. Well, I think the two things are very, very closely linked. But, yeah.
And then also we've got this you know, Leaders in Tech Summit, which is another anchor event for the week, which covers the kind of macro issues of attracting talent and what's going to be the future of our tech capital, but then goes also on to those hot topics like the blockchain and a lot of things around... you know, London is the fintech capital of the world, which is one area where we can really excel in.
And just to sort of finally wrap that up, we're going to have a little break, actually, and move on to a little interview in a minute, and then we're going to come on to Harry and his insects. But just to sort of also mention, there's a load of learning to be had there as well. So there's lots of little sort of events around intellectual property and, you know, all sorts of other things that if you are, you know, a small tech company, and there's loads of sort of learning events, isn't there, too?
Well, exactly, and so many of them as well, you know, they're not necessarily paid to attend, so and there's going to be so many every week we're getting more and more people registering to run their events on the London Tech Week site, so you know, you can really build yourself your own program and just have a look what's on, and there could be lots of opportunities either for very relatively cheaply or free to attend events where you can meet loads of people and just get to know a side of tech that you've never known before.
And we want as many people as possible, because we want to prove to the world that London is the centre of tech, don't we? We absolutely do want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah,
but also it's the future of everything. So
London?
No, not London. Tech.
Tech.
Well, I mean, London's pretty cool too. Yeah. You know, I'm a bit of a fan. But yeah, no, it is this, you know, just it's now infiltrated into everything. Even food, which is so far removed from, you know, ones and zeros in kind of... in practical terms of putting food into your body, but you know, yeah, it's a hugely important area where you know, like you say, lots of education is needed, but just like bringing the community together to help solve the problems that we haven't solved yet,
and kind of recognizing the fact that there's technology which facilitates people's access to great food. All those platforms, online platforms, and the fact of those food bloggers who now can contribute and share with the world their insights.
Absolutely. So if anybody's interested, they need to go on to londontechweek.com. If you are involved in tech, you'd be mad not to go to at least one thing. And if you're very, very involved in tech, you should probably be thinking about having a little event yourself. Now we're back. We've got Gabby from London Tech Week in the studio, and I'm joined by Harry. And Harry is part of the Food Talk team. We don't normally have our own staff on the radio, apart from me. But we've brought you on because you've rather stupidly fallen into a big trap at work, haven't you?
I have.
So Chris is the producer of the programme, and you may have even made the suggestion yourself. So explain to me how you got yourself in this ridiculous situation, Harry.
Yeah, so it was one gentle Friday morning, and obviously I run through the news stories in the morning for the food industry, and there was something else about insects. So there's been quite a lot recently. And we was discussing it, and I said, oh, maybe it'd be good if someone did an insect diet for a week. And then sort of stone dead silence, everyone turns to me, you do the social media, you'd be a good person to do it.
Well volunteered. Well,
it's first hand then, isn't it? So you can blog and tweet about it as you're doing it.
Yeah, no,
perfect idea.
It's going to be good fun. So every evening I'll be doing some sort of Facebook Live or Periscope for Twitter, sort of me making the meals and then eating them as well, live to camera, so make sure I've got the right face on.
Can you explain to us exactly what this is going to look like?
What is this diet going to be then?
So it's going to be a working week. I'm not sure exactly when, but it should be in the next couple of weeks. So basically, protein replacement. So if I was going to be having a spaghetti bolognese, take out the mince, chuck in some grasshoppers.
And do you have to go and catch them first, or no, someone delivering you? Have you got a grasshopper dealer?
So we've got a couple of companies on board that have been really helpful. Jiminy's UK, they're a French company, but they sell in England as well. Mm-hmm. They're going to be sending us lots of different...
They do some really amazing flavours as well, actually.
Yeah, no, I think they've sent through so far. We've got some crickets, some mealworms, and some grasshoppers.
Oh. Sue is turning her nose up on the other side of the table.
Glad you can't see my face.
Do you not like the insects, Sue?
I don't know. Yeah, I probably could. It's just I don't know why. It's just the thought of it. I think because you think they're a little bit wriggly. Well, obviously, clearly they're dead, but you know.
Yeah, I didn't like the idea when I first came across them. I bumped into to the Eat Grub guys, who I think you've had on the show in the past.
Yes, we have, yeah.
I was kind of standing there looking at this little paper cup with lots of tiny little bugs in it. And I was like, I just don't know about this. But the flavour was really good.
Yeah.
And once you get over that kind of initial fear.
Well, we sent Harry off to some event, I can't remember, a few months ago.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Part of London Food Tech
Week,
wasn't it? So, right, Harry, you go off. So he went with Lucy, another producer of the show. And would you like to explain what you did? Because you basically embarrassed everybody radio show, didn't you?
It was a nice story. So we was in this insect bar, and there's all plenty of different companies. Eat Grub, actually, one of the ones that are going to be sending us stuff.
Insect bar, yeah. We sent them off to the insect bar.
Very cool. Mm.
And so I got to one particular bit, and there was, I think it was mealworms. They were live, crawling around. There was a member of staff stood right next to me, but so I took
it was
a
on
handful.
The bar, wasn't it? I guess. On the,
yeah, it was just like a bar snacks. Yeah. So they're like peanuts but moving. so I took a handful and ate them,
well
much to Lucy's disgust. But and then the guy next to me, the member of staff, was like, "Oh, yeah, they're kind of not for consumption. They're just for show. Those ones." I was like. Oh, thanks for telling me. Yeah.
Well, you've got to be careful at a food event, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, anything is fair game when it comes to
munchies. So it's embarrassing. So we sent him to be, you know, an advocate for the radio show, and then he's eating the, well, presumably the part of the furniture, actually.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to fry them and do stuff first.
Yeah, so most of the stuff that they're going to be sent for is like dry roasted, and then they're done with like flavours as well. So you can get chili flavoured mealworm and
cumin and sesame is one of my favourite flavours. It's very nice.
Yeah, it should be. They do taste nice. Obviously, I think that's what we've got to get our heads around. Sort of the.
But how are you going to cook with them? Because it's one thing having them as a snack.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand that. So they're a replacement for crisps or something like that, Twiglets or something. But you're going to actually. Replace protein with them and cook with them. Have you got like a little insect recipe book that you've knocked up yourself?
Yeah, so Jiminy's one of the companies. They've arranged, well, they spoke to a nutritionist and they're coming up with sort of like a menu for the week. So it will be a case of me. I think most of the time you put it in the oven, you dry roast it, and then you just add it like you would for any other bit of protein. So they suggest salads with a sprinkling of crickets and it's just all things like that. So we was keen to sort of stress it. It's not just constantly eating bugs for a week. It's just having it as part of your meal. So it's not just obviously a handful all day. I'm not just going to be crunching.
And something else which is quite popular these days in packaged goods is things like cricket flour. So they take the insect and they grind it into a flour that you can then use for baking with or, you know, just adding in for an extra protein supplement.
Well, that was what we sort of found at the insect bar. There's so many more products to it. It's not just bugs. It's ice lollies made out of this flour. It's energy bars made out of the flour. And it just shows that you can actually have, well, we're hoping to show that you can have a full week, a healthy diet, because it's meant to be so much better for your protein as well. So it's supposed to give me a lot more energy per gram.
Well, we'll be watching you. I'm expecting loads of work out of you on the radio show. We'll probably have more research done ever that week because you'll be just so full of energy.
Well, yeah, it's good to lose weight as well, apparently. So I will be weighing myself before and after. You've said before that I've put on weight since I started working here. So
we all have. Cause
might be a good way to lose it.
Yeah. Oh, there's no hope for me.
Shall I tell you a little bit about entomophagy?
Yeah.
Which is what it is. And that's from the Greek insect. And it's the human use of insects as food. But, you know, we're sort of at the moment looking at sort of the crunchy insects, aren't we? But it could include the eggs or the larva or all that sort of stuff. And, of course, humans have been eating them since prehistoric times. It is common to most cultures in the world.
It's very, very common in other places. It's just strange that the West hasn't picked it up.
No.
But, I mean, we've written about it a few times on the Food Rush, and the kind of comparison that we've drawn on a number of occasions, and as have others, is... with sushi from like 10-15 years ago, everyone was like, raw fish, you must be joking. Whereas now that is, you know, you can get it on any street corner in London pretty much, in any one of the chain cafes or some amazing...
Even Tesco's do it, although they do it
exactly.
badly, very badly.
It's not the best.
No.
But yeah, you know, it's now very, very common and no one looks at you strange when you say you're going to eat raw fish.
Mm.
And perhaps in 5, 10, 15 years in the future, people will have a similar kind of opinion with insects.
Well, apparently there's over 1,000 species of insects known to be eaten in 80% of the world's nations. So it really is you know, it's quite normal, but just perhaps not in the West, really.
Especially when you go over to Asia, you sort of see the scorpion stands where they're just sort of eating live scorpions. And obviously, yeah, it hasn't taken off here yet, but hopefully I'll be changing that.
Well, well done. So we'll have a look. I mean, at the moment, it seems to include insects, but not arachnids.
Okay.
So we don't seem to be eating spiders, do we, much, but the insects.
The legs get stuck between your teeth, that's why.
Oh, don't. I don't think I could manage that. So we're going to see how you go, Harry. And what Twitter handle do we have to watch you on?
It's at Food Talk Show, and also follow us on Facebook, Food Talk Show again. So
if you want to see the gorgeous Harry, let's see if he loses a little bit of weight. See him bounding with energy. You need to get on Facebook.
That's the
plan. You probably get lots of fan mail.
You know, we've tweeted about it a little bit already, and there's been quite a lot of good traction. I mean, the final nail in the coffin of me actually doing it was after that discussion we had in the office initially. I did a Twitter poll saying, should I do this insect diet? And I think we had a 30, 40 odd people voting, and it was something like 86% said yes, go for it. So that was the final nail in the coffin. So that was me definitely doing it.
Did you hear their evil laughs in that vote as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
So no way you're going to get out of it.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I was a bit apprehensive at the start, but it should be good. I mean, the whole sustainability thing as well, it's supposed to be a lot better for the environment. So let's give it a go.
Give it a go. Jolly good. Well, thank you for joining us. I know you're normally at the back of the radio show and not the front.
I feel honoured.
You're honoured, yeah, absolutely. So thank you very much to Harry. And don't forget to follow him on Twitter at Food Talk Show. And thank you, Gabby McSweeney, telling us all about London Tech Week. And don't forget to go on to londontechweek.com. Get off your backside, get an event organised, get on there. If you've got a little bit of money, be a sponsor, because it's a really good thing, isn't it? It's something we all want
to
celebrate.
We'll do the hard work.
You do the hard work, and let's get London the focus of tech for that particular week. And just to remind you again, that's between the 12th and the 16th of June. And just one final thing, please don't forget the lovely Food Talk Awards. We can't wait. We're really excited. We want to celebrate technology.
We want lots of things to try.
Lots of people.
And lots of difficult decisions to be made.
Send in your tech, send in your packaging,
everything.
Send in everything. Get your you know, colleagues to do it, whatever. So make sure you go on there, and that's on foodtalk.co.uk. And again, if you want to give Guy any abuse or comment on anything food related, please tweet us at Food Talk Show. So, another great programme.
Another one in the can.
Another great programme. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.